Visit FloridasEliteRestoration.com today. Florida's Elite Restoration is the company you call first whenever you have a disaster at your property. Storm damage, water, flood, mold, whatever it is, fire, call them first. They'll come out and give you a completely free evaluation of what's happening at your property and what it takes to restore it. And if you move forward with them, you're going to sign on with them and they will battle your insurance company for you to get the money that you've already paid for that you need for your greatest asset. That's what Florida's Elite Restoration does. They're phenomenal. They do it all day long. Call them first. Ira, JoeBucksFan.com. Mention either one when you call. And if you need their services after your free evaluation, you will get $500 back, maybe in the form of your deductible or just money to go toward your repairs. Don't mess around. Check them out as a company. They're locally owned. They're fantastic. Florida'sElitereStoration.com.
Who is this kid?
Buccaneers fans, the draft chatter continues on the Ira Kaufman podcast, starring the king of Newport Richie himself, Mr. Bill Curry Ford, Ira Kaufman, the sage of Tampa Bay sports. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeCamper of JoeBucksFan is here. And an unexpected part two, building on our radically wildish episode, our big annual NFL draft episode, the mock draft with JoeBucksFan.com draft guru Sean Sullivan. We have stayed for an additional edition here, Ira. This is going to be exciting, but we're here at the Bill Curry Ford Studios, here at Bill Curry Ford, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium. Beautiful here, Ira. Have you ever seen anything like this dealership, what they've done?
All I can say is it was worth the wait, and it was quite a wait for Sean driving him crazy. But when all said and done, it was worth it. And they spent a lot of money, and they did it right. And why did they do it right? Because Sean Sullivan traveled all across America looking at dealerships and renovations and new dealerships and picking out on a pad of paper, I like this, let's do this, let's do this, let's not do this. And that's called doing your homework.
Well, it is incredible, and there's so much to it. You can get a little taste of it at BillCurryFord.com, but you got to come down here a mile north of the stadium on Del Mabry. Ira, the service drive looks like two Walmarts combined.
I've never seen anything like it.
All right. So the last podcast, you can find that at Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Podcast Addict, JoeBucksFan.com, many other places. A lot in there. Very meaty. Sean does his thing. It's good. We get after it.
Now, I'm going to start with a quick question, Steve. Sean,
you may not
be ready for this. I asked Jason Light several times, Sean, and you've heard me say it. What have you learned from your mistakes? What happens with these mistakes? What's the common denominator? Light doesn't hesitate. Screwed up from the head up, from the shoulders up. So my question's simple. What, if anything, do you know about Chop Robinson's intangibles? How much does he love football? Because that's going to matter to the Buck Brain Trust.
Now, Chop Robinson was Sean's pick in our mock draft, which you can go back to listen to. And we stopped at the Buccaneers picks at number 26. We stopped there. Today, Sean is going to go through his Buccaneers-specific mock draft with his remaining choices as far as what he thinks the Bucs will do with players that he expects
to be available
on the board at that time. So, Sean, to answer Ira's question, what do you say to that?
That's really easy. So we talked about Jason Light liking high-character guys. He likes team captains. He likes guys that lead the locker room. Well, the good news is with Chop Robinson, he was the team captain. He led the locker room. High-character guy. Interviewed extremely well at the combine. Apparently, according to his own coach, which, you know, that's questionable whether that guy's a head coach or not. He's obviously a good recruiter, but I don't know what kind of coach he is. He said that he is a big study guy who loves the game, and he wants to be a premier pass rusher in the NFL.
All right.
So for me, he signs off on all those Jason Light boxes. And, you know, it's like there were some guys who said we're going to draft a corner. Some of the corners in this draft have some off-the-field stuff that I don't think Jason Light's going to be very happy with. And some of the linebackers, same thing, have some off-the-field stuff. You know, one of my favorite players in the entire draft is Peyton Wilson. I have a man crush on him, and he's just an incredible linebacker. But, you know, he has medical issues. So I really think that Jason's going to try to stay away from the medical concerns and the character concerns. It's just like he said, when you miss a player, let's just say I miss on Henry Ruggs. I watched Henry Ruggs tape. I thought he was absolutely incredible. I thought he could be one of the top receivers in the NFL, and he goes and kills somebody, you know, racing a vehicle. So the idea of – I don't know who they are, right? I can only tell you the what I see.
Look at Rashee Rice. Right.
Right. Yeah. He crashes another car at high speeds. I can't tell you what kind of people they are. I know what Jason Light's looking for, and Chomp Robinson fits the bill for who he is as a person.
Okay.
All right. Hey, Ira, you were a little upset here when the Buccaneers did not draft that big Frazier center in the first round in Sean's mock draft. You want more respect for that running game and what it could mean to this team. You are passionate about it. And I want to remind everybody that the Sage back in 2018 was the biggest possible
advocate.
Sage was the biggest possible Quentin Nelson guy. And I don't know, Sean, would you have drafted Quentin Nelson? Lee, would you have drafted Quentin Nelson at number six overall? I believe
maybe
he was
six or eight, whatever he went.
Yeah, yeah. I believe he was six overall.
And the next thing you knew, Jonathan Taylor was running for 1,800 yards.
Well, to be honest, Quentin Nelson was a can't-miss prospect at guard. I mean, that was one of the ones that you knew, like, early on, like Ogden was. When Jonathan Ogden came out, you just knew there's just some players you can look at and say, okay, that guy's going to be a Hall of Famer.
Zach Martin.
Yeah, Zach Martin's another one of those guys that you just – from day one, you just know. I would have drafted him, Steve, just because I feel like the hit percentage on that would have been extremely high. You know, guards like that with that kind of reputation don't come out very often.
And there's nobody like Quentin Nelson in this draft. Yeah,
no,
yeah.
There's nobody like that.
Lee, he asked you if you would have drafted Quentin Nelson.
If he was the last piece of the puzzle. But everything you need to know about Ira, he said just about 30 seconds ago. They led the league in rushing, or somebody had 1,800 yards. And what,
Jonathan
that and
Taylor.
A cup of coffee will get you what?
Well, they didn't have enough players around them.
Thank you very much.
And they didn't have the quarterback necessarily. But anyway, I'm glad you brought up Quentin Nelson over there, Steve.
All right, are you feeling better, Ira?
I am.
About
I'm feeling
this?
Better.
Feeling a little better? All right. Well,
that's really good research, Steve. Good job.
Well, I messed it up because the second pick was the was tackle. Braden Smith, who makes big money with the
but
Colts.
But they did take a center, Ryan
All right, I'm glad you're feeling a little bit better, Ira. Now, Sean believes in improving the running game because, hey, bottom line, you run 300 times a year, even if you don't run a lot. So
I have three players in my mock draft that were specifically designed to improve the running game from 32nd to somewhere in the 20s.
So, Sean, we're going to get to your second-round pick for the Buccaneers. First, in 45 seconds, it's not even possible, but 45 seconds, what's the hot thing people need to know if they're shopping for a vehicle right now?
Well, this weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we have the Kelley Blue Book meal that went out. So we're basically giving 100. I need cars. We're selling so many cars. I have no car. Go outside and look. You see the largest dealership. And it looks like I have like seven cars on the
lot. Ira's got a for sale sign on his car.
Every single car is selling out of here. I need cars. I'm asking the public to bring their car in. I'm going to give them 130% of Kelley Blue Book for their car. Write them a check same day, and they can walk out of here with a check, or they can walk out of here with a car. If they want to buy another car, hopefully I'll have one for them. But I need vehicles. And for those of you who don't understand how the auction works, I don't like to buy cars at auction. I don't know what I'm getting, just like a customer doesn't know what I'm getting. I prefer to buy cars from customers. I get to meet them. I get to see them in their face. I get to see how they treated the car. A lot of them will bring me the books and say, look how many times I did the oil change on this, right? And I get excited, and I'll give you more money for that kind of car. And then the other thing we have going on is truck leadership for Ford. Right now we are in the lead, obviously, for truck leadership. It's 47 straight years of truck leadership. We have $10,000 off MSRP on all remaining 2023 F-150s with the lifetime warranty.
Wow. Whoa. You, sign me up.
Is it time to bring in the...
It might be time because you're never going to get these deals again.
Cherry red Ford Escape, 130%
on
that
thing. Unbelievable.
Sam might need an upgrade.
Well, we love the Escape. I mean, we love our car.
Sam might need an upgrade.
Sean, he just got his F-150. Wow.
When you know the customer and he comes in and he sells his, you know, maybe three-year-old pre-owned, is it exciting when it's a guy like Iron? You know, there's probably a bag of chips under the...
Oh, yeah. There's a beet salad somebody left in there. Yeah.
All right. In the second round, the Buccaneers select
wide receiver Keon Coleman, Florida State.
See, now Lee's happy with that.
Now I'm happy with that.
So I feel like we need to upgrade the skill positions for Baker Mayfield. I feel like wide receiver is something that Jason Light has talked about. And I feel like if you're not going to go in the first round with one of these top wide receivers, I think if you wait past the second round, which we have the 57th pick in the second round currently, without a trade up or trade down scenario, you're going to have like three guys there I think Keon Coleman is a possibility. That's who I would really like in this pick. You have Malachi Corley out of Western Michigan, who should be on the clock at 57. Lee will love this. He led the college football the last two seasons in yak. No one's even close. And then another guy is Roman Wilson, the wide receiver out of Michigan.
What about that Troy Franklin kid you were talking about?
He'll be gone.
Oh, he'll be gone.
Yeah.
Now, I have to keep in mind this is late second round. So it seems like Keon Coleman, since the end of the college football season till today, his stock just boom, boom, boom drops.
It's a 40 time. It's a track race again. They don't go back to the film and see how good he is on film. He had the best gauntlet of all wide receivers at the combine.
That, yeah.
His hands are incredible. He fights for the 50-50 ball. He can high point the ball, very similar to how Mike Evans is. Not with the speed of Mike Evans, but he's a good route runner. He's physical. I like physical wide receivers because I feel like the smaller guys get pressed a lot in the NFL. Because the defensive backs are just as talented. A guy like this is going to bully his way into some open field. I hope he's there. The Bucs brought him in as a top 30 visit, Steve.
Now,
don't you think Trey Palmer can develop into a nice third receiver? Or are you worried about down the line with Godwin?
Godwin leaves. I don't think you pay Godwin $25 million next year. I think that Trey Palmer moves into the slot, which is his natural position. As Lee talks about, he's the fastest guy off the line of scrimmage. In the slot, he would be able to get the ball out really fast. He could go just like a Cooper Kupp situation where he gets off the line of scrimmage fast, catches the ball, brings it up
downfield. So then you got two physical guys.
So then you have Mike Evans and Keon Coleman, which are both similarly sized guys, height, weight, 6'3", similar builds.
Wingspan.
Yeah, and then Baker Mayfield is, you know, because he's not growing, you know, he's not going to get any taller, which is drives me insane. When he throws the ball up, he's going to have some guys that can come down with it because, you know, he can throw the ball down the field. He's got a strong arm.
On Keon Coleman, I read this morning that on NFL routes, his catch rate is poor. Is that because he's often contested?
He's double-teamed quite often, and he's not going to be double-teamed. I think
not with Godwin and Evans on the field.
Yeah.
No.
Ira, how do you feel about this? You like adding a receiver who is a true outside receiver? Whatever you say about him, I don't see him as an inside receiver in any way.
No.
So
Trey Palmer's going to move inside.
How do you feel about that? Ira, a guy coming in with no pressure as a big-bodied play behind what the Bucs have. He's not an inside guy. Not super fast, which is the only reason he's in the second round.
Well, I think that Sean and Lee are onto something with whether you're talking about Godwin or Lavonte David in terms of it's part of Light's job to look ahead.
Right.
That's not Todd Bowles' job. That's Light's job. Todd Bowles don't care about 2027.
No, he doesn't.
Nor should he. He's trying to win right now. So, you know, you're going to have to replace Lavonte David. Doesn't mean you use a first-round pick on an inside linebacker, but you got to address it down the line. And the same thing with a receiver. I think he's probably right, Sean, about Godwin. Now, we love Godwin, but
everybody loves Godwin.
Sean, I am very frustrated with Godwin's touchdown production the last couple of years. I think it's woeful, considering what kind of player he is. The guy's got like 5 touchdown catches in the last 2 years combined. That's unacceptable.
Is that just lack of targets?
I don't know what they're doing in the red zone. They're not looking for Godwin at all. And in the past, he's been a reliable target in the red zone. And it's all Evans. It's Evans or nothing. So I don't mind Coleman, and I'm with Sean on one critical point. Now, I'm not trying to put him in the same sentence as Jerry Rice, but I use Jerry Rice as my example.
Sean or this guy?
No. Sean, Jerry Rice coming out. Now, Bill Walsh looked at the tapes of Mississippi Valley State and said, who is this kid?
Yeah.
Nobody ever runs him down. And the scout said, oh, wait a minute, he runs a 4.6 40. Nobody catches this kid.
Right.
We're taking him. And nobody ever caught him running down the field.
How about
I'm not saying Coleman's, you know.
Well, how about the Rams last year? You talked about who they drafted last year at wide receiver. How about the fact that he had a 4.62 40 time and everybody's saying, well, he's just a special teams guy, you know, and then he comes out and catches 100 footballs.
You don't have to be Tyreek Hill
to
be a very productive
player. Back you up, Ira, to that point. Now, in a sense, Trey Palmer is Tyreek Hill. He gets off the line so much quicker. We know he's got speed just, you know, running long and running short. I'm like you, Ira. I kind of think he was misused. Trey Palmer was misused in a sense. If he's that quick coming off the line, get him the ball right away. Let his wheels take over.
I like the fact just adding Coleman or a Corley out of Western Michigan to our wide receiver room. I think we have to do it in the second round. We have to address it in the second round.
At number 89 overall, the Buccaneers select
Ray Davis. Running back, Kentucky. I think third
round,
you have
what a story that
you
guy
have
is.
Got to address this running back situation. You got to do it in the third round. This is where all the running backs are going to go. Ray Davis, to me, is one of my favorite running backs in this draft. His story is unbelievable. The foster home situation, as you know, my mother and father, we grew up in a foster home.
How do you know about how so do you know about his the fact story? You
don't. I wrote about
don't do any research.
Yeah. This guy is a Jason-like guy all the way. Loves football, loves what he can do. He's going to get an audience in the community to do the community work that this kid does. This is a special kid, and he can run for 4.2 yards a carry, which is all I wanted, right? And he can score touchdowns. He has great vision. He's not going to miss those holes.
What's his running style?
He's a yards after catch, break tackle kind of guy.
Can he convert third and one? Can he push the pile a little bit?
I really think that.
He's not a big guy.
White's going to. He's a 5'8 guy, right? So let me just go. He's 5'8, but he's 2'11, and he ran a 4.49.
Little fire plug.
Yeah, like you.
Yeah, like me.
If you watch the NFL Combine, he is the only player on the field that you knew was a running back when you saw him because of his pear shape. That's exactly what I'm looking for in a running back. His upper body, his shoulders, and everything are just compact and everything. And then as you go down, you look at the tree trunks of legs, and he's got a caboose on him where, you know, if you go back and you look at the top running backs.
Not like Hainsey, right?
If you look at his proportions, he looks like a star running back.
He's kind of like a poor man's Maurice Jones-Drew.
There's nothing wrong with that. Does he follow his blockers, Sean?
Yeah. Yes, he does. Okay. So this is a guy that would challenge White for a starting position. I think that Ray Davis could actually move White to a third down receiving back, so, and Ray Davis could take over the actual carries
first and second round pick, right, Steve?
That's correct.
Lee, thought?
I don't have an issue with that. I probably would have gone with Estime, Notre Dame guy.
Estime is going to be there. I think he's moving up boards. I like both of these guys, but I think Ray Davis, with his connection to Liam Cohen, is going to get the nod. If it comes between those two guys, the coach is going to take who he – think about what Ray Davis's transition to the NFL is going to be like. He already knows the offense. He already knows what the coach was trying to do. He already knows the run fits. He already knows how he's going to – what routes he's going to run out of the backfield. Look at the transition this guy's going to have. It's going to be wonderful.
What about smooth. That home run hitter from USC who gets insane yak?
Marshawn Lloyd is a guy that I absolutely love, and he's like my backup. So if Ray Davis is gone, and there's a possibility he could be gone even at the 89th pick. That's how much guys like his hands too. Marshawn Lloyd's a guy that I like in that Estime kind of deal with Ray Davis.
It's going to be so much fun, just out of general, as a fan. It is so much fun to get a new running back in the house when you don't have a superstar running back, because makes preseason way more fun, way more interesting. Everybody's
got to address that running back room, Sean, no question.
Yeah, we're going to address it twice in this draft. I think it's important that we address it twice.
Everybody's hanging on each carry of that. I love that.
All right, what's the number of the second, third round?
We're only four months from preseason.
92nd pick overall, Ira.
Three picks later, at number 92 overall, the pick the Bucks received for Carlton Davis from the Lions, the Bucks pick.
Trevin Wallace, linebacker, Kentucky. I'm going to double up the Kentucky players. Trevin Wallace is a Levante David, weak side linebacker replacement. He can run with tight ends. He's very fast. He ran a 4.48 at his pro day. 5.5 sacks, even from the outside linebacker position, because he's an off-the-ball linebacker. He can intercept the ball. He forces fumbles. Very, very solid tackler. Very good fundamental player. He's 6'1", 244, so he has great size. But he's a guy that can come in that linebacker room, which, by the way, has nobody in it. We are very thin at linebacker. We have Savoisier Dennis from last year. You have
We don't know that Dennis isn't a player. We don't know
We
that.
Don't know that
I'm
he
not
is.
Saying he's not. What I'm saying is you have a question mark at linebacker, and you need to add somebody of like a Jeremiah Trotter Jr. or a Trevin Wallace to that locker room. Both of those guys might be available at the 92nd pick, but I think Wallace, again, takes the edge because of the connection to Kentucky and Liam
Cohen. I'm still waiting for my offensive lineman, Steve.
He's coming up.
Ira's going to be all over.
Joe Bucks fan wrote about Trevin Wallace. There was a great article about him as well.
Maybe it was me. I don't know. I read so many stories, I forget.
Yeah, lose track. All right.
He was also brought in for a top 30 visit, so just so you know.
Am I on the... All right, Ira, it's okay. If not, you'll be glued to the locker of this...
I'm not sure I'm getting an alignment in the fourth round.
You'll be glued to Sam...
He might be grabbing a tight end over here.
You'll be glued to Sam Opita's locker all spring. The guy from the Eagles, Ben Bredesen, you'll be talking to him about where he got his bagels in Jersey. They brought in the free agents for you at the offensive line.
All right, what do we got, Sean?
Number 125 overall, fourth round, the Buccaneers select.
Trevor Keegan, offensive guard, Michigan.
Woo, 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 woo.
6'5", 310, absolute run blocker, like violent run blocker. He's going to clear the way. He blocked for Blake Corum for, by the way, 3 years as a starter at left guard. Left guard.
Left guard.
Three years as a starter behind one of the best running games in all of football. Blake Corum had 27 rushing touchdowns behind left guard, if you think about it. This guy.
Physicality. Physicality.
This is who you're looking for. Remember Jason Light said, I want to get bigger and more physical on the offensive line?
That's
Trevor Keegan gives you this guy. He's just a monster of a man. Again, 6'5", 310. Started three seasons at Michigan at left guard. He's a plug-and-play guy. You drop him right in there at left guard, and he's going to improve your running game. So far, I've given you Ray Davis and Trevor Keegan to improve the running game.
Not bad. Not bad, Sean.
Okay?
You're growing on me, Sean.
Yeah. All right.
All right. Now, a little nod to Jason Light. There's no fifth-round pick this year because last year the Bucks traded the fifth-round pick this year for the pick that became Trey Palmer last year. So good for Jason Light there. He saw what he wanted.
I thought Trey Palmer made some plays last year.
Yeah, he did.
I'm not down on Trey Palmer.
He was a five-star recruit that played behind, I told you, Chase and Jefferson at LSU. I mean, that's pretty impressive.
I'm not down on Trey Palmer.
I mean, that is a very shrewd move when you look at it, for a sixth-round pick. But that's why we have, really, for a fifth-round pick, but that's why we have no fifth-rounder this year.
Okay.
And Steve, just as if Trevor Keegan isn't there, that guy Mason McCormick, the guy you were talking about,
Sean, he's going to be there because he's going to be on the money.
I hope he is. I hope he is. Yeah,
you're the mock drafter. You can't say if he's not there, he's going to be.
Well, I just said there's a handful of players you have to pick from, and I know that Jason Light's going to be high in Mason McCormick as well. But I think Trevor Keegan gives us a little bit more size, and I think in physicality and in brute force, and he's coming out of a pro offense already with Jim Harbaugh.
All right, up next is the last pick of the sixth round. Correct, Sean?
That is correct.
Number 220, the Buccaneers select.
A.J. Barner, tight end, Michigan. So
there's the tight end.
Here's your tight end. Here's your run-blocking tight end. So I'm basically...
Two Kentuckys and two Michigans for you?
That is correct.
Okay.
So I want to go over this Michigan thing. So best running game in college football, right? I'm taking a guard and a tight end.
Wait a minute. Lee,
Michigan.
Do you agree best running game in college football?
Who, Michigan?
Yeah.
When Corum was in there, yeah.
That's the point. That's what I'm
saying.
Is it best?
Ohio State's pretty good, too.
He had 27 rushing touchdowns on the ground. He had one of the best
seasons
at Michigan.
Florida State's pretty good.
They literally didn't pass the ball in half of football games because their running game was that good.
I understand. I watched the Big Ten. I understand.
So
all right, tell me more about
A.J. Barner, 6'6", 250 run. He ran a 4.75, 40, right? He caught 22 passes for 249 yards, a couple of touchdowns. That's not the big thing, but he can catch the ball. But here's the thing. He is a run grader, right? You put him out there, you let the guy that played 96% of the snaps take a break. You put A.J. Barner on the field. You put Keegan out there at left guard. And you put Ray Davis out there. Now you're running the ball. Now you're physically
imposing. And a different scheme.
Yeah, you're physically imposing your will on the other team. And that's what a guy like A.J. Barner. If you watched him, and there's a Wiley out of TCU, which I like a lot too, as a blocking tight end. If you watch these two guys block at the Senior Bowl, you're like, oh my gosh, these guys are just mowing these guys down. It's you know what difference it's going to be to go from a guy that's a softer player like Kate Otten. And when I say soft, it's not a knock on him. He's a pass catcher, softer.
And he made some big catches.
Yes. He's going to be a passing weapon. He's not a physical player. Right?
No.
You got to add somebody like
good pass catcher, but not a physical guy.
Listen, we drafted a tight end out of Purdue last year that's a physical tight end. Right, Payne Durham. You have a physical guy. A.J. Barner is a guy you get in the sixth round, pick 220, another physical tight end to put in that room. Now you've got some physical guys going on, yes. As far as the two Michigan guys and two Kentucky guys, that's just how the draft fell.
Okay.
But, you know, because I said it's either going to be Wiley out of TCU that I like a lot, Eric All out of Illinois, A.J. Barner, these guys can all block. Who do I like and who do I like in a running offense? Michigan had a running offense. So you're going to take Keegan and Barner and plug them into an offense that wants to run the ball.
I'm still waiting for my center, Russ Sullivan.
You're not going to find a center in my draft. Right? We signed a center in the offseason going to compete with Hainsey.
All right, Sage and Sean, the Buccaneers, they have one seventh-round pick, number 246 overall. Ira, before we get to Sean, who do you like?
I like the next best player from Kentucky. Throw that out there. Let me predict who Sean's going to. Sean is going to pick a cornerback.
That's not a bad idea to pick a corner, but it's not going to be a corner. But I really like Breece Hall. We got from Bryce Hall that we got from the Jets, and I think Enzian's going to take a step forward out of Rutgers. I don't know if we're going to draft a corner in this draft. We might sign a corner. You know, there's going to be some free agents that are the corner class is deep.
Could Hall beat out McCollum, in your opinion?
It's a possibility. If you think about, I think he has a better chance of beating out Dean. Dean has not been healthy. And remember, he's a friend of mine. But he's getting paid. He gets hurt a lot. He's had some injuries. And he's a physical specimen. So no one can tell me when I look at him that he's not in the gym working hard. He is.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got speed. I don't know. But I don't know if it's because he plays with a physicality where he just plays with like reckless abandon, but he seems to get a lot of ankle injuries, a lot of knee injuries.
To your point, virtually every time I go out to One Buck Place in the off season, Jamel Dean's out there.
Yeah, he's a worker. I mean, he works his body. I mean, this guy's ripped.
I think he's primed for a bounce back year myself. I hope so. But I never would have re-signed him to begin with. I didn't think he was worth the money in free agency, but I think he'll play better than he did last year.
He's a good guy, too, by the way.
He's a great guy. I sort of side with Sean, and I've written this so many times. If Carlton Davis was vulnerable to a trade, how secure is Jamel Dean?
Ira, what do you think?
Well, I'm still working on Sean's seventh-round draft pick over here. I'm still waiting for my center. Sean didn't come through.
All right, come on, Sean. Yeah. Seventh round.
Seventh round, we're gonna double up the running back. We've got to improve that running back room. It's a very deep running back class. There's a guy that's going to be there in the seventh round, I think, and it's Kendall Milton out of Georgia. He's just an awesome all-around running back. I really think that he's underlooked.
Did they use
right
a
now.
Committee last year, Georgia?
Yeah, it was somewhat of a committee, but he had two seasons starting for Georgia, two national title deals. So he ran a slower 40 time, but he averaged 6.2 yards a carry at Georgia. Great offensive line, great scheme, obviously. He's just an all-around, you know, do-well back. My thing is every single year I discount the Georgia running backs, and they stay in the league. They're either just well-coached. This is another guy, this Kendall Milton guy, is a pretty good recruit. I mean, whether it's Ray Davis or Marshawn Lloyd or Kendall Milton or, you know, somebody like that, you know, we've got to improve our running – or estimate. We've got to improve our running back room. There is a corner that I really like, Max Melton out of Rutgers, who fits Todd Bowles' scheme.
That's where Izzian was from, right?
Yeah, I just couldn't find a place for him in the draft. But if they do – instead of linebacker in the third round, if they go corner, I think they go Max Melton.
Well, of course, everybody can get up to speed on their position groups by listening to Best in Class, Sean's podcast, breaking down all the different position groups. And that's at JoeBucksFan.com, Apple Podcasts. And Sage, drafts, the preseason draft season is over on the Ira Kaufman
it's
podcast.
It's not over because I got one more for Sean Sullivan.
Well, hold on. Before we get to your closing, Lady, did you have something you want to throw
you mentioned
there?
Rutgers cornerback?
Yes.
Yep. I'm waiting for Ira to become nauseated when I say this. I honest to God heard this yesterday. Emory Hunt of CBS was talking about Rutgers cornerbacks. You can never go wrong with a Greg Schiano coached cornerback.
I'm going to lunch, Lee.
he honestly said that, Lee, and I think there's some merit to that.
Well,
isn't Schiano on the Bill Belichick tree?
Yes.
Yes.
Right. Isn't Bill Belichick considered one of the best defensive backs coaches?
One of the best. Saban supposedly was the best. But yeah.
Okay.
Well, Belichick. Schiano's not on the Belichick tree. He didn't.
Well, he's buddy.
He's friends with close
more,
friends with
but
him.
But he's not
he
on the coaching
with the Patriots
tree.
One year.
No.
No,
he was supposed to, and then he
I think he was with the Bears. I think he coached the secondary with the Bears.
Yes, recommended by Bill Belichick?
Yes, he was.
Right.
Yes, he was.
Right, okay.
Yeah, he was supposed to be their defensive coordinator, and then he said, my wife won't let me do it, and he left.
Sean, keep your answer down. Sean, if you can.
My wife won't let me do it.
Keep your answer down to a minute, and here we go, because we haven't mentioned it, and I'm going to throw it out there.
And Ira's order at Hooters is a pickup at 1
and
o'clock.
And it's near the end, so Buck fans, if they've already heard the podcast, and they're not going to turn it off. Should there be a discussion
center.
If Michael Penix is there at 26? Should there be a slight discussion and the Glazers having their say too? Or do you say there's too many holes to fill? Penix isn't going to play for 2 years at the earliest. That doesn't make any sense.
Well, let's address the second part of your question first. All these holes that we're supposed to address, from what I understand, we signed all of our free agents, and we have the same team coming back that went to the second round of the playoffs last year, should have beat the Lions, should have been playing the 49ers in the national championship game.
I don't think
game.
They're chock so, full of holes. So I don't.
I guess I get offended by these people who continue to tell me that Jason Light, my team, has all these holes because they don't. They are, I mean, could we upgrade positions? Sure. Arizona has a lot of holes. Okay, that's what a team with holes looks like. The Bucs don't have all these holes. We have positions that as fans we would like to see upgraded, like the running back room.
Carolina's got holes.
All right, before yeah, we get yeah. off on the holes, answer Ira's question.
Okay, so going back to the first part of your question, I think that we're in a position, being a Bucs fan, that you have to look at Penix, if he's there at 26, and consider drafting him for the future of our franchise. It's not just so – that's where I'm at. I'm at that stage where I'm going, we have a good team. If we draft a pass rusher in the first round, besides Verse or Darius Robinson, who's another guy that we didn't talk about, but he's a defensive tackle, kind of a tweener guy. If we draft somebody like that or Johnny Newton falls, what's the impact they're going to have on our team?
Lee says they normally don't contribute that much as a rookie.
Right.
Normally.
But do you draft Penix and sit him down for two seasons? Because we can all sit here and speculate what Baker Mayfield is. We don't know what Baker Mayfield
is. That's right.
We'll know at the end of this year what Baker Mayfield is. But if you have a chance to get a franchise quarterback, which I think Michael Penix is, a franchise quarterback, I think he's Boomer Esiason. He's got that type of career ahead of him where he's going to throw for a lot of yards and he's going to throw the ball down the field with better accuracy than most quarterbacks in the NFL. I think you have to look at him. And I think at the end of the day, if I'm the GM, I take him. We've never had a quarterback on a second contract. We're the only team in NFL history not to have
GM
that.
But the GM doesn't have to think about 40 years behind. He's only there to look forward.
Right.
Well,
but
forward.
I'm saying the GM.
I can't help. GM. I understand, but I can't help but factor in a lifetime of being a fan. Like
Bucks. Yeah, absolutely.
And not take pride in the fact that my team has won two Super Bowls, right? We've been to the playoffs four straight years. We have some conference titles under our belt. We have more Hall of Famers than most teams, which is amazing for our
this age.
Right. We should be very proud of what we've become. And the next great step is drafting and cultivating a quarterback.
That's true. As a franchise, yeah.
As a franchise.
That's why I love this, man.
I was going to say, Ira loves that big franchise talk.
Now, we haven't heard from Lee yet on this Penix situation. I just said, should they even think about it, Lee?
Oh, more than that. I would be very... very tempted to draft a guy because when are you going to be in position to get a guy like Penix without really
That's
having
Sean's
a horrible
point.
Season?
You're going to fall.
You're not. We had the tank to get Jameis Winston.
If he's any good, in my opinion, if he's any good, there's no chance he's going to get past 20. No chance.
I don't think there's a chance in football that he gets to Gus at 26.
Right.
They go way higher than what people are saying.
Yeah. He won't get past the Rams. There's no
I know
chance.
Bruce Arians loved him.
I know the Falcons love him.
Uh-oh.
I'd be shocked.
They brought him in for a personal throwing session with their wide receivers. Do you know how rare that is to bring your wide receivers in and have a quarterback throw in an offseason of a guy that's not even on your team?
And you had Bo Nix going to Denver, right?
Yes. Sean Payton's going to be all over Bo Nix.
It's about as rare as Ira ordering steamed broccoli today for lunch. All right. It's been fun, Sean. Another great pre-draft season here on the Ira Kaufman podcast, presented by Bill Curry Ford. Sage, enjoy your lunch. Lee, thank you. And again, Sean's mock draft podcast with us is the last Ira Kaufman podcast that posted on Tuesday. If you missed it, go back. We got to dive into all the picks, all kinds of things. And that's it. Time for the draft, Ira.
You're not going to get this stuff anywhere else, Lee. You're just not going to get it.